Good evening.
Good evening.
And now we're going to hear from Jeff. This might be the first time where the speaker might fall asleep as he's speaking. Please forgive me. I just woke up like an hour ago. Thank you. I just want to go on record saying thank you for your prayers, for those that have prayed for me with the job at Costco. I did get the job, and after a long waiting time, I got the job. So just thank you for the prayers. That's getting a little loud. But they're working me the midnight shift, so I'm working from 10 to 7 a.m., so I'm not used to that. So so it'll be interesting tonight when I have to go back in for the second shift. But what I wanted to speak on is Proverbs chapter 3. For me, the messages I like the most are the ones that have happened, or something has happened in your life and you learn something from them. It comes from the heart because you've gone through what you're speaking on, and I like those the most because then I can share it with you guys, and if you guys are going through the same thing or have gone through the same thing, you guys can be re-encouraged in the Lord. For me, I know that I was having, last couple times I spoke, I was having, trouble giving it all to the Lord. And I know that's what I spoke on. And I don't want to be repetitive, but in Proverbs 3 and verse 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. This is one of the verses that I had put on a piece of paper and I had stuck on my wall, because I love this verse so much, and it's helped me through so much things in life. And I know that for a fact that, last time I spoke, I was saying that the Lord was changing me, and I was going, I was going on walks, and I was praying, and I was seeing all these changes. Well, I decided, I was like, Lord, what's the basics? Like, you have to get back to the basics of Christianity, and no one wants the basics. You go through the basics so many times that you're like, well, I want to get to the more hard stuff. But, that comes later on in life. And in math, I know that I always went back to the basics. You always have to go back to, 1 + 1 = 2, and then go from there and to do all these huge equations. And for me, the Lord just brought me back to the basics. And he showed me this verse, and he said, trust in the Lord. And lately, I've been talking with the guys. We've been going out to eat, and we've just been sitting down and talking and, just praying that, Lord, let us see a change, in the youth group is what we've been praying for a while. And the same thing in Boys Brigade. We've just been praying, Lord, change the program. And in the years past in brigades, we've only seen, 20 achievements in all year long. There was only 20 achievements the whole year, which is kind of sad, seeing how that one achievement is running a mile. I mean, we have 20 kids. If each one did that achievement, that would be that year's quota. But we ask for a change. And this year, the Lord has honored us more because we trusted with all our heart. We said, Lord, we trust you to do it. We don't want to do it ourselves. We can't understand everything you do. We're going to give it to you. And in the last, we've been going for a couple months. Every week, we've had 20 achievements, 15, 20, 16, 20, and it just keeps on going every week. And I know eventually they're going to get to the harder achievements and it's going to slow down, but it's challenging the kids lately to really look at the verses. And one of them that they've been working on was Psalms 119, 9 to 11. And it says, how can a young man keep his ways pure? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart, and do not let me wander from your commands. Your word have I hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. And for me, I was praying about what to speak on, because Jeff approached me 2 weeks ago, and I didn't even know if I knew I had the job, because I was praying about it, and the Lord thankfully answered the prayers that I was able to leave Applebee's because I didn't like it there. But the Lord let me leave there, and get this job, but he was teaching me not only to trust him, but to have patience. And I'm the least person with patience, you know, like, you know, if I have to put something together, I throw out the instructions, I just want to get in and, you know, get it done. And at the bakery is where I work in Costco, and you have to have patience. You know, the pie, you can't make it in 3 minutes. It's not a thing I can just throw in the microwave and have it. You know, I have to get the dough out. You have to push it. You know, you have to work the dough, and then you have to put it in a pan, mold it. You have to let it sit, you know, let it harden. Then you have to pour in the pie. Then you have to, you know, there's just so much into it. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, I have so much more respect for people that make pies. I'm going to stick with ice cream now because it's so much easier. No, but it's hard. But the thing is they went back to the basics. They know that they have to do A, B, and C in order to get what they want. And for us, we have to go back to our basics, is trusting in the Lord. And I know a while back, I just prayed, and I said, Lord, I know the answers, okay? You know, all you saints here have been a blessing to me and shown me a different part in each of your guys' lives and how I should live in a Christian life. And I knew all the answers, but I didn't want to put them to practice. Like, the instructions, I wanted to throw them out. I wanted to do it my way. But I know that in the Bible that Shane gave me, and all you guys keep on saying Shane's here, but he's not. It's okay. But in the Bible, he wrote down an interesting quote, and it said that, I don't want to be great. I want to be greatly used by him. And that hit me hard, and I'm like, well, you know, everyone, I want to go around saying, like, hey, does everyone know my name? You know, who knows me? You know, but that's not what it is. It's trust in the Lord. Lean not on your own understanding. And so a while back when I saw that, I just prayed. I said, Lord, and I was afraid to pray this because I thought, you know, if I give it all to the Lord, you will go to Africa. Like, there's no doubt about it. You will go to Africa within a month or whatever. It'll happen. So I was for some reason, I was just hesitant to give it all to the Lord and to trust him and lean not on my own understanding. And I said, you know what? You know, it's time. You know, I just really need to do it. And I prayed. You know, I said, Lord, if you send me to Africa, I will bless you. If you keep me here, I'll bless you. Just use me. And I don't want to be great. But I want you to greatly use me. And after I prayed that, I said, just show me. I knew that reading was important. Okay, I started reading. Like I told you, I'm just trying to read through it. I'm almost through the whole Bible in less than a year, which is what I want to do. And I know that reading is important, but I was like, how can reading and understanding, like, how can God talk to me through the Bible? And that was my hard part. I'm like, you know, there's so many wars in there. There's so much bad, you know, things in the Bible. Not all of it's rainbows and sunshine. But I was like, how can God talk to me through the Bible? It's the same words if I read it every time. You know, Psalms 119, 9 to 11 is going to say the same every time I read it. But the interesting thing is I answered my own question a couple weeks ago when I was talking to a kid, and he said, I don't want to go to Sunday school anymore because I've heard the story of King David so many times, I don't want to hear it again. And I said, I hear you. I'm 23. I've heard the story of King David for 23 years. You're not there, not even halfway there. I was like, and I have learned something new every time I've heard it. Every time God shows you something different. You might not catch it the first time or the second time, but I guarantee you if you keep on reading it, you have learned something new every time. And for me, I prayed. I was like, Lord, just show me how you can use the Bible to show me that you're talking to me. I know when I pray to you, you hear me. And I'm talking to you, but how are you going to talk back to me? And I'm just saying right now that if you guys don't think the Lord has a sense of humor, I mean, he knows how to make you laugh. And I prayed every time before I started reading the Bible. I did not start in Genesis and I'm going to Revelations. I didn't start that way. Reading through the Bible, I know that every time I started in Genesis, I end in Exodus, and I put the Bible down and I stop. after Moses. I just, for some reason, I just always stopped. But for me, I just said, you know what, I'm going to pray, and whatever book he lays on my heart, I will read. And so I started actually in Matthew, read the first couple books, then I skipped to 1 Timothy, and then Revelations, and I skipped back to Corinthians, and you know, I went to Philemon, and then I was just hopping all around the whole Bible. But every time I went to a new book, the person standing here, the person at Brigades, the person at Awana's, friends that I talked to, the guys that I talked to, every time I read a story, it was said at church or through a believer. And I'm sitting there, and I'm just smiling every time. And like last week, Bob spoke, and he was talking about, you know, Joshua. And that was the book I was reading. And then he kind of skipped through the stories, if you remember. He kind of like jumped through. But all those stories I read in the that week was all those stories. And I knew the stories, but I didn't know them like 100%. And the Lord showed it to me. And so Proverbs 3, I just learned to really put my trust in the Lord. And like with the Costco job, I just prayed. I said, Lord, you know, seems like you're shutting all my other doors. This is the only door open. I'm going to trust you. I'm not going to try to understand this at all. I don't want to understand it. I know if it's what you want, I will get the job. And not just for the season, but for the whole time. You will make me stand out in some way. And usually, in the first couple weeks of a new job, I don't take a stand for God right away. For some reason, I always shy away. But within the first night, you know, I told him, yeah, I go to Claremont, you know, yeah, I'm a Christian, yeah. And I had a conversation with like five of the workers, you know, as we're sitting there. I mean, they can't go anywhere. I mean, they break the rules if they leave. So I'm like, hey, I got 7 hours. You can't tell me to shut up, you know, so hey, let's go. But I said, I don't want to understand it myself. And that's the hard part, because I'm a person that wants to understand everything. I want to know what's behind that mystery box. I don't want to see the question mark. I want to see the answer. So for me, it was more of, Lord, I know this is what you want. Show me in any way that you can. And I said, Lord, like I want to trust you. And at the street fair, I know that I prayed that before I got up there. I prayed, Lord, you know, I've been away. You know, I've been reading, but I haven't been really looking up the verses to give the gospel. I was like, just show me, use me as a mouthpiece. Don't let any of my words come out. Just let it be you. And I was going, and I was doing the whole week or the whole day. And then when I got to the end, I was just like, wow, that went by fast. I was like, wow. Like all these verses just started hopping in my head, and I was giving it out to these people. And like I knew the answers to the doors before I even opened them the first time. And people were coming up and said, wow, it looks so easy to you. I'm like, really? Because my heart was jumping out, you know, out of my chest. I was like, I was nervous. I was like, I didn't know what to say. But I just trusted in the Lord. I just said, Lord, no matter what happens, I want you to do it. And I know that in Boys Brigade, like Proverbs 3 has been on my heart so much. And they were looking for a verse for the Camporel. We always learn a chapter. And I was emailing them like constantly saying, hey, do you have the verse yet? Do you have the chapter yet? Do you have the chapter yet? And we want to get working on it. And then when we had the thing over the weekend here, they had to learn Proverbs 3, 1-6 to go to each meal. They had to learn the first three verses to get breakfast. They had to learn the second three to get lunch. And it might be cruel, but you know, some of these guys, that's the only way they're going to learn the verse is if you make them say the verses and you get lunch. And the guy's like, you're really not going to make me eat lunch? I'm like, yeah, you're going to sit here. I'll sit here with you. I mean, if we don't eat, we don't eat. And he's like, no, I really want to eat. I was like, then learn your verse. Stop talking. And so I was sitting there, and I was like, wow, this is the verse that I know. And I was like, guys, this is a famous verse. Like, this is a well-known verse. You really need to understand what it's talking about. And then all of a sudden, Norm says, well, this is going to be the chapter for the Camporel. And I was like, this is the verse I've been meditating on, or the chapter. And I was like, amen. You know, I mean, it was just an answer. And just to keep on going on, it was just you know, in every little thing. One of the speakers was talking about the Lord is in everything we do, okay? And he used the Karate Kid. Most of you guys have probably seen either the old version or the new version. Wax on, wax off. Everyone knows that. You know, karate, he says karate is in everything, you know. Even though he was doing chores and he's like, I hate this. This is so stupid. What does it have to offer me? Like, why am I doing this? It just hurts, you know, and he was getting mad, right? Well, then the speaker said, well, what about God? God is in everything we do. And verse 6, acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. And everything you do, acknowledge him. He is in everything we do, whether it's me up here speaking, whether it's me driving to work after this, whether it's me talking to a friend, helping out the guys, you know, that are hurting. And, you know, in everything we do, the Lord is there. Eating food, you know, even though you might think, well, how can that be? But the Lord is there. He provided that food for you. And I know that a couple weeks ago, someone said, I mean, have we thanked God for the water in the water fountain? Norm spoke on that. Did we give thanks for the water out of a water fountain? Like, every time you turn that on, have you ever thanked him for that water? I know that weekend I was. Every time I turned that water faucet, I was thanking the Lord for providing that. And in everything we do, acknowledge him. And lately, that's what I've been working on, is acknowledging him. I had no clue what I was going to speak on. I had no clue, even if I had tonight off. Jeff was coming at me, and he's like, hey, you speaking? I was like, well, Costco ever tells me when I'm working, I will. And it wasn't until last Saturday, they called me up and said Thursday's my first day, but they didn't tell me any other days. So I showed up Thursday a couple days ago, and I still didn't know if I was going to be here. And I looked at the schedule, and it showed that I got off at 7 this morning, and then I work at 10, and I'm like, perfect, I can speak, you know, I can be here. And I was praying, I was like, Lord, show me, if you want me to speak, I will be here. I will prepare a message beforehand to come. And of course, laziness, I didn't do it. But I knew like ideas, but I didn't have it prepared. And I was coming here and I was like, Lord, you know, just use me as a mouthpiece. Don't let it be me speaking to you guys. And I know that most of you guys are like, all right, Daniel already got this down, you know. But I was listening to a song on the way home. I'm sorry to Mr. Farrig that I didn't stay for his message. But I went home because I was going to sleep. And I was listening to the radio, and a song came on. And it said, the Lord made the lame to walk, the blind to see, the tongues to talk. And he's done all of that, you know, all these great things he's done. But do we trust him in the small things that we do? Do we trust him to wake up in the morning? Do we trust him to read? Do we trust him to provide the gas to go to work? You know, do we provide him? Do we thank him for the rain that we got to nourish the, you know, all these plants so we don't have fires? You know, do we acknowledge him in everything? Do we thank him for the little things? And it said, what would life be like if we were to live our lives through him? Not live our lives, not let's make a decision and then we'll say that's the Lord's decision. I was doing that for a while, and you know, I was, you know, a lot of it was the wrong way, and I was going the wrong way because I was making my own decision, and I was saying, well, Lord willing, you know. But lately I've been giving it to the Lord beforehand, saying, Lord, you know, go before me, and if this is what you want, then it'll happen. And it's just amazing to see that, you know, like I said, like the bakery, you know, it takes patience. You know, it's not nothing that you can do right away. You know, it's something you have to work at. And I know the Lord's been working on me. And I know that, you know, the Lord's just showing me so many things. And I also prayed, Lord, I want to trust you. Let me see things through a different view. You know, I've always looked at through my eyes, and I said, you know, this is the way I want to live. And I've seen, you know, that I was going the wrong way and I wanted to change. But I said, Lord, let me see it through you. Let me see it through a different point of view. And I couldn't believe how much I have changed in the last 2 months, seeing things from the other side, It's just like the famous saying, you know, put yourself in someone else's shoes. You know, see it through their eyes. You know, simple things might, you might say, oh, that's a simple job. Bakery is so easy. You know, you just pour a little flour and do that. No, when I was there, I was like sitting there, I'm like, I don't know what to do. I'm like afraid to touch this machine. I don't even know what that does. I'm like pretty sure that's going to burn me if I touch that. And then the machine was sticking because it's hot, and then you push it against the mold and it burns the mold, and then you drop it down. Well, it was sticking and the machine was coming down, but the pan was sticking up. And I'm like, well, if I touch that, it's going to burn my hand. And they've gone 30 days with no injuries. I'm like, I want to be the first one to do it. And so I'm like trying to get it off. But, you know, I just started thanking the Lord when the machine was not temperamental. I was able to get a lot of pies out before it wanted to do its own thing again and start messing up. But anyways, like, I wanted to see things through a different way, and I'll end with this and give it to Jeff. But I saw that one of my, Scott, like I said, in the truck, read me like a book and said, you know, you're not reading, you're not praying, you're not doing any of this stuff. And he's like, you need to change. And he was the first man to call me out, like, and it hurt bad. But I know I was talking to someone, and the Lord let me see things through a different light. And he let me see, and I called the person out, and I said, well, are you reading? And he stopped, and he looked at me, and he's like, no. And it hurt me, it hurt him, I know. But for the first time, I could read someone, and I could say, hey, I know you're not reading. And the Lord has shown me, you know, how to read that. And he couldn't believe it. And he told me later, he's like, dude, I've never seen you that bold before. I've never seen that. I've never seen you call someone out like that before. I'm usually the nice guy that'll give someone a hug and say, oh, everything will be okay. You know, Lord will work it out. But for once, the Lord said, you know what? You need to call him out. You need to call him out. It needs to change. And that night, when I came here, they were talking about Elijah and how he was bold. And I was sitting there and I was like, Lord, that's all you. It's not nothing of me. And lately, that's what I've been wanting to say. And I love the songs that Scotty gave out, because it's so great. You know, trust. You know, trust in him. You know, he is the rock. He will not change no matter what. You can always trust in him to do the right things. He's done things in the past, he'll do things now, and he'll do things in the future for you if you trust. And like I said, I'm just going to end on this, but, you know, are we giving the things to the Lord? Will we be the same if we give it to the Lord? And if you say, yes, I'll be the same because I'm giving it to the Lord now, even that's wrong. Because no matter how many times you give it to the Lord, you will always get a blessing. You think your shovel is so big that you think, here, I'm going to bless someone. Here's my shovel. It's so big. You know, I'm giving all this money. You know, let it rain, you know, with the money. But the Lord's shovel is so much bigger. You know, he's so much bigger than any of us. And he will dump it on you. And trust me when I say that. I know that I was trusting him. And I was looking at my schedule and I was like, wow, I'm not going to make as much money as I thought I was going to. There's so many gaps in my schedule for next week. I mean, right now I'm working a lot, but there's gaps. And I just said, Lord, you know, if you want me to work more hours, you'll give it to me. If not, that's okay. And then I showed up last night for my first graveyard shift, and I was super early because I got the time mixed up. So I was there like an hour and a half early, and I was looking at the schedule, and she had revised it without telling anyone and put it up. And all those gaps were now filled in with times. And I wanted to say, you know, yeah, that was me, but it's not me. I was like, thank you, Lord. And like I said, you know, are we giving the Lord the praise? Are we saying, is it of me or is it of him? And that's what Brigaders have been learning right now. All these kids are like, oh, here's the Bible, you know, to say the verse. And I was like, trust me, I've already had like five people do that achievement. I know the verse, just say it to me. And, you know, a lot of it was Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. You know, all the kids were doing that, you know. And the thing that hit me the most out of that verse was that we should not boast. We should not boast. We should not say, I did it. And I said, when you get to heaven, do you want to say, like, ah, look at me, amen, look at my mansions, look at your little shack in the corner? But I said, all right, do you want to get up there and say it was me? I was like, no, the Lord doesn't want that. The Lord wants you to get up to heaven and say, it was you here. And I said, that's why it's not of works, because we'll boast for it. And that's why when the schedule was filled in, I was like, it's not me. I did nothing. I didn't talk to the lady. I didn't say I need more hours. The Lord gave it to me because he wanted me to have it. And so I'm just going to end on that, and I'm gonna give it to Jeff now.
Okay. Thank you, Danny. Hey, good evening. I do appreciate Danny stepping up. It's a great encouragement to see someone who works all night and then turns around and he didn't know until, what was it, Thursday? Right, Thursday, whether he was able to speak, and he stuck to it. And it's really encouraging to see, you know, everyone who has an opportunity to get up and to share the Word of God, stick to those opportunities. And it's really encouraging. I know. Every time I've asked Danny, it makes me nervous whenever I ask Danny, you know, hey, you want to share with me? I get the flu. The first time I got the flu, and he ended up stepping up and did a good job taking the whole time. And I got the flu last week. So anyway, open your Bibles to Psalm 139, and maybe we can continue the continuity of what Danny was sharing about trusting the Lord. It is a very important quality to trust when things are out of your control and you don't have the answers. But you know that someone does. You trust them. You lean upon them to get you through. Psalm 139, we're going to just look at three verses. And then I've got three devotional thoughts that I wanted to kind of look at. Psalm 139, Psalm 11, and then 2 Corinthians 4. If we get there, we'll see where we end up. But the thought is committed to Christ. And that as we trust the Lord, we do lean upon him in every area of our life. Let's start with Psalm 139, verse 1. David writes, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. And this is something, you know, Daniel shared, you know, reading the Word of God over and over and over. And this is something I've been reading for years. And it hits me every time. Oh Lord, you have searched me and known me. There is nothing hidden from God. And as David goes through here, we're hit with this sobering fact that he knows everything about you. He knows your thoughts. He knows your heart's desires. He knows all the secret activity that takes place in your mind. He knows the muscle reflexes, the knee jerks. He knows everything. As David goes through this psalm, he looks at not only what God knows, but he looks at his presence. No matter where I go. And Dan shared that God is in your life, whether you like it or not. And if there's anyone here who does not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, if they're not a Christian, if you're not a Christian, God is active in your life. He is constantly active in your life. And this is something that we need to be greatly aware of. Not only does he know everything about you, not only is he present in your life and presently seeking to work things out in your life, He is also active powerfully in your life. Turn over to the last two verses. David writes, verse 23, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." David, being a man that trusts God, knowing God knows him through and through in every aspect of his life, knowing God already knows these things, turns around and prays and asks God to actively search him out. Now, God already knows. We see that the presence of God evaluating your life, even though he knows. And this is something that I find greatly encouraging, that, you know, David is looking for God to search him out. This is for David's benefit. He says, know my heart. Now, we know that for the Christian who's submitted to God, God gives them the desires of their heart. David is looking for God to actively be a part of his life. And he says, try me, know my thoughts. Try me out. Let's see what happens. Test me. And he says, see if there be any wicked way in me. Now, why? What's the purpose of this? Because there are things in our hearts and minds. Sin is still present. And David knows that with just subtle temptations can come along and can destroy a life, can destroy a testimony for the Lord Jesus. And then he prays and says, lead me in the way everlasting. Lead me in that way of righteousness, that way that lasts forever. They're wonderful thoughts. They're things that encourage us. We see that in this psalm. If you've never read this psalm, I would encourage you to read it. It's very enlightening. It'll really touch your heart, and it'll really warm your soul to understand God knows. He cares about you very deeply. We see that in this psalm that God is the ultimate unavoidable. You can't get away from him. Turn over to Psalm 11. David writes another psalm. The last one, we get this idea of the all-seeing eye of God. Now we're going to look at the refuge of God, refuge in the Lord. We'll read all seven verses here. He says in verse 1, in the Lord put I my trust. How say you to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? For lo, the wicked bend their bow. They make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may secretly shoot at the upright in heart. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold. And look at this portion here. His eyelids test the children of men. This is something I noticed a little while ago. His eyelids test the children of men. Verse 5, the Lord tests the righteous, but the wicked and him who loveth violence, his soul hateth. Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire, brimstone, a horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. What a miserable portion that is, isn't it? Verse 7, for the righteous Lord loves righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright. If we can take a minute and just kind of look at this here. In verse 1, it says, in the Lord put I my trust. And this is a foundational position of a Christian, a person who looks to God to meet their needs. They trust him. And he gets he talks about kind of a mocking cry that takes place here. It says, how do you say to my soul, that place of my desires, my feelings, my emotions, my affections, how you say to it, flee as a bird to your mountain. Turn over to 1 Samuel 17. 1 Samuel 17, verse 26. And maybe we'll get a little understanding here. Thinking of this refuge, our trust in the Lord. 1 Samuel 17:26, and David spoke to the men who stood by him, saying, what shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? This is young David talking about big man Goliath. Turn over to verse 42. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him. Why don't you just go away, little bird? He says, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that you have come to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give your flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword, with a spear, with a shield, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day will the Lord deliver you into mine hand, and I will smite you and take your head from you. And I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And listen to this here. It says, and all this assembly shall know that the Lord saves, not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's. And he will give you into our hands. And it came to pass, when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, that David hastened and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag, took from there a stone, slung it, smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sank into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. I want to look at verse 48 there, that David hastened and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. This young man was so bold, trusted in the Lord, that he ran towards the enemy. He ran towards this army. He ran towards this giant of a man with no fear. What I find interesting is that when David wrote Psalm 11 here, he says, in the Lord put I my trust. This is his place of refuge. He doesn't have to fly off to his mountain. His mountain's standing right there. He doesn't have to go anywhere. I would translate, I'd put this into maybe a different thought. You could read it like this. Little kid, run home to your mama before you get spanked. You have no idea what's in store for you here if you hang around. The Christian does not run. The Christian does not, I'm going to go hide with my God. That's not what they do. The Christian stands fast. The Christian looks at the tribulation in front of them, the giant, and stands fast, stands strong, is faithful. They trust in the Lord. It gives me a different picture of refuge. Taking refuge in the Lord, trusting in Him, is more along the lines of a good defense Or I would say the best defense is a good offense. If we keep that in mind with trusting the Lord. All right? We see as we go down through this psalm, look at verse 4. We are given the understanding that those that live righteously in Christ, we see that the Lord's presence is with them. Verse 4, the Lord is in His holy temple. The Lord is in His holy temple. And something that is interesting, you know, in the Old Testament we see you have the temple, right? And there the Lord is there. In the New Testament, where is He? He's right here. He's right here. He's with us. He is with us. His presence is with you. Those that live righteously, His presence is with you. It says the Lord's throne is in heaven. His authority is with you. It says His eyes behold. This is comforting to me. It lets me know that He is watching me. But there's something even greater that comes upon us further down. Let's continue. Those that live righteously, His eyelids test the children of men. Those of you that want to live your life as if, we could say maybe God blinks. He closed His eyes, perhaps. He doesn't see what you're doing. Do you really think that He doesn't? Let's just say that He does. Are you that foolish to try to get away with it? It says previously, His eyes behold. He sees everything. We know that He knows everything, but that He's presently with you and He sees everything. It says, verse 5, the Lord tests the righteous. He tests the righteous. He will test you. Those that live righteously will be tested. And it's for your own good. It's for God's glory. Difficulties will come along. There will be giants in your life. But we trust in the living God. We skip down to verse 7. In that trust, and we see that He tests your commitment. Those that live righteously, verse 7, for the righteous Lord loves righteousness. He loves righteousness. Do you ever think about that? He loves righteousness. He loves it. It is something very dear to Him. We know that those that live righteously, His love is with you. And then this last portion is something that really struck me the other day when I was looking at it. Those that live righteously, His countenance doth behold the upright. As Christians, when we live for the Lord, we live in an upright way. Our heart is upright before the Lord. We can be assured that He is pleased and He is watching you stand fast. I believe this is impressing upon our hearts that it's not just that He sees you. It's not that He sees everything. It's not that He's testing with His eyelids. This is a special, He takes note of you. As you live your life for the Lord Jesus Christ, He takes note of that. It's special to Him. We know that the Lord Jesus Christ is very special, very dear to God, to the Father. And when we live for Him, He takes note of that. It's something that the wicked have no place of privilege. Every Christian living righteously for the Lord, God's eye is trained on them. Wow, He's taking note. He's watching over that. It's precious to Him. We're basically out of time, so we won't go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we get the thought that Paul says, we have this ministry. We've received mercy and we faint not. And that ministry is spoken about in chapter 3. And it tells us that we are to spend time, the Spirit of the Lord has given us liberty. And that liberty is not to live a licentious life. That liberty is not to live in the freedom of just self-indulgence. That liberty is not that we may sin, that grace may abound. No, 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 no. That's not what it's for. That liberty is that we may take time to behold the glory of the Lord, that we can spend time just looking upon Him. And as we do that, as we read the Word of God and just look upon Him, there's something that changes inside of us. We're changed. We're changed in a way that no one else can ever be changed in this world, no matter what university they go to, no matter what program they get involved in. It will not change their life like this. This will change your life in a way that it is changed from glory to glory. The glory of the old body, that image of God that was marred by sin, is changed into the glory of God. And it's something that as we change, people see it. They see it in your life. Danny is sharing. He's up here giving his testimony, kind of a play-by-play. People see that in our lives. If they don't see Jesus Christ in our life, what do they see? Do they just see old Jeff? You know? If I ran into someone from high school, I don't even want to figure out how long ago that was because I'm 42 now. 24 years ago. You know, if I ran into someone, that's a long time. Would they see a difference? Would they see a difference? Would they go, man, you're not that same guy. You're different. I hope that they would. I hope that they would see something that shines. The face of Moses was veiled. We have this opportunity that the glory of God can shine forth. And it seems odd, it seems weird, but it's true. There's people that they'll look on your face and they'll say, there's just something about you. There's something. What is it? What's the secret of your joy? What is the secret of your life? I got to know. Honestly, I have never had anybody ask that in my life. I hope that they do one day. But the secret to this is spending time in the Word of God. And that's where it's at. If we trust in the Lord, He will change us. He wants to change us. He wants us to change us that we will live in a righteous way, in a way that glorifies God and glorifies the Lord Jesus. One last thought, if I may. We have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. Think about this. We have been blessed with the greatest quantity, all. With the greatest quality, spiritual. With the greatest locality, heavenly. With the greatest nobility, the Lord Jesus Christ. How can we not serve Him? Let's pray. Our great God and Father in heaven, we do come before You. And we thank You, Father, for the time that we've had here, that we can just share a few things of that which You've done in our lives, of that which You've taught us, that we can refresh in that which we've read over and over and over. Father, we pray that You'll make it afresh in our hearts and our minds. We pray, Father, that that little seed will take root in our heart and that it will grow, that it will bring forth much fruit for the Lord Jesus. Father, we can understand that in that concept, if a seed dies, it will bring forth life. And it must die. Father, as Christians, we understand that that seed of the gospel took place in our hearts. We believed, we received that Lord Jesus, Your Son. And Father, we follow Him and we pray that we'll do so committed. We pray, Father, that we will trust in the Lord Jesus. Father, we know that the Lord Jesus is the one who replaced Moses. And that we now look to Him. We trust in Him. Father, He is our only hope. Without the Lord Jesus, we have no hope. We're told that we're the most miserable people on earth to trust in one who said he saved us but has done nothing. Well, Father, we pray that you'll bless our hearts, bless our minds, guard them in your peace. Lift us up that we may serve you and follow you, and that our lives be a demonstration here in the city of Claremont to those around us. Father, we just pray that you'll draw our hearts and minds together. We pray that you'll lead us in that way of everlasting. We pray, Father, that we will be greatly aware of our need of you each and every day. And every morning, we will look to you that we may gaze upon your glory, to look upon the Lord Jesus and to say thank you. Father, as you touch our hearts each day, may that minister to those around us. Be a blessing to them, Father. Make us a blessing. Make us a blessing to every person around us. Father, bless those that are not here. Bless those that could be here and are not here. Bless them who couldn't be here. Father, bless us as we go home. We greatly thank you for all that you've done through the Lord Jesus. Thank you for your word. And may your countenance shine upon us as we walk in faithfulness to the Lord Jesus. In his name, amen.